Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Joining us now with PIMCO, William Gross. Bill, good morning, I hope.
Did you say 2.8 or 2.08?
2.08, excuse me.
There you go. I'll take that.
A little better. What do you do as a... We'll get to the jobs economy in a minute, Bill. But let's get right to this whole idea. We've all been in bonds. You've had a couple great years. I'm sorry, bond prices seem to be struggling to go up further. How do you deal with that day after day?
Well, you try and figure out which ones are going down the most and which ones perhaps are going up. In the stock market, they say it's a market of stocks, not a stock market. It can be that way in the bond market, speaking to high yield or corporate bonds, or speaking to Italian or Spanish bonds. And so, the weakness has really been in the 30-year treasury since June of 2012.
What does that do to our retirement plans? What does it do to institutional pension money that has to own that kind of paper?
Well, they love it because, they're underfunded relative to liabilities. And so it's a strange concept to suggest that what they own, going down in price by 15 or 20% if they're long treasuries is a good thing. But actually, their liabilities are greater than their assets. And so they're looking to get back in at higher yields. So pension funds are loving this. Those in mutual funds that see their net asset value decline, hasn't happened in the total return fund. But those that do, obviously are looking to a potential bear market towards which they look to other asset categories.
I've heard from any number of people, including the folks at PIMCO, that cash is going into bonds and equities. How do you frame when people finally shift from bonds to equities? How much price decline triggers that idea, dear, we got to get out of a bond fund and get into a PIMCO equity fund?
It's hard to know the extent. It's usually better timed in terms of the length or the months in terms of a lag, Tom. Usually it's about a 3 to 6 month lag. They look at their statements. Mm-hmm. They see their net asset value declining, and how much does it have to decline? Perhaps 3, 4, 5%. It certainly hasn't happened yet. But, the combination of time and a decline in price would produce some type of shift into equities. And I think that's a few months ahead, at least, and a few points lower in terms of net asset value.
Bill, let's continue that discussion in a moment, but I've got to ask you, with futures up 7, Dow futures up 80, a melt up in the stock market, the moment Neil Kashkari leaves PIMCO, the equity markets go up. I don't know what that's about. But anyways, Bill, when you look at what's going on, is this a new normal jobs report?
Well, I think perhaps it is a new normal at a increasing cyclical peak. I mean, if we're moving towards a 3% real GDP growth rate, which I think we are, at least in 2013, because of housing and so on, what you just discussed with Jim Glassman, and if we're moving towards a 5% nominal GDP target, then a 200,000 number is probably what we should expect. The critical point for the bond market is, due 200,000 jobs reduce the unemployment rate sufficiently to endanger the Fed funds rate and the policy rate, which is targeted these days.
Does this report change Ben Bernanke's strategy?
No, I don't think so. I think Bernanke and Yellen and Dudley, the three musketeers, have made it obvious that even if unemployment gets to 6.5%, they're going to look around. They're going to look at the participation rate. They're going to look at the work week. They're going to look at the productivity, all of those things in combination. And so they give themselves an out if, and here's the critical point, Tom, if inflation, is still well contained.
Bill, we were talking about inflation or the lack thereof. It gives the Fed a lot of leeway room. What tea leaves do you look for to see if inflation can be there?
Ultimately, Tom, wages are the key to sustainable and higher inflation, and I think the Fed knows that as well. It's true that commodity inflation, as reflected in oil and other commodities, is bad inflation and not good for markets or good for profits, but it's certainly true that wages, which are well contained at 1.5% to 2%, are the key to the Fed. If they should, for some reason, and I'm hard pressed to see the reason, but if they, for some reason, should move up to 2.5 to 3% and threaten that threshold, then that's when the Fed becomes concerned.
Of course, it's kind of funny. I'm looking at Bill, the various indicators of market expectations for inflation. TIPS, 2.6, the five-year, 2.8, the Fed five-year, 2.8. Why are the markets so far ahead of where actual inflation is at the moment?
Well, that's a good question, and we're part of that. We've been buying a lot of TIPS. Those forward break-evens that you cite do reflect expectations going forward for the next 5, 10, 15 years. We simply see, and I think other investors see, central banks, on the move. They call it a race to the bottom, I suppose. It's the same thing as printing checks. The Fed's doing it at $1 trillion a year. The Bank of Japan is about to jump in. The Bank of England is about to change their parameters. And we think the ECB in the next 2 weeks will do something as well. So central banks are trying to reflate. That means higher inflation. And the critical, I guess, stopping point is when central banks stop. Now, the Bank of Japan has said 2% is our target. The Fed has said for a year or two, 2.5% is our target. And the Bank of England seems to have no target. So, it appears that all central banks are, well content with inflation moving up from 1.5 to 2% to perhaps 2.5 to 3%. And I think a forward-looking investor has to play it that way.
Well, you just said the ECB will do something within 2 weeks.
I think so.
They just had their meeting yesterday.
They did. And, the ECB is a very staunch, conservative Austrian, and good for them, central bank. But I think at this point with European unemployment at 12 to 13% as opposed to U.S. unemployment at 7.7%, that they have to do something.
What do they do? Cut rates?
Well, they cut them, and it's a legitimate question as to how much help that can provide. Ultimately, they can do other things. They've got the suggested program. They call it the OMT, where they would support, Spain or Italy. They've got the potential to do a QE themselves, although that's far down the line for the ECB. But ultimately, what they want to do is weaken their currency relative to the dollar and to other currencies so that they can become more competitive.
Will they be successful, Julian? Callow at Barclays says a 115, 115 euro, it's going the other way. Can they succeed?
It's hard to see the ECB succeeding, Tom, because they are so conservative. They are the toughest of the central banks these days. The Bank of Japan, I suppose, in the past several years was, had an equal claim. But, certainly the ECB now is at the tail end. And so it is hard to see them succeeding in driving the euro down to those levels.
Yeah, Mike McKee, jump in here with a smarter question than me. But Bill Gross, you know the backdrop here. In the Wall Street Journal today is the Michigan Greenlaw Hooper Hamilton paper with worry about how we're going to unwind this. We just got a 2005-2006 jobs report. We see yields causing you angst, to say the least. How do you perceive this unwinding? Does it unwind with instability?
Oh, I think so. And it unwinds to begin with, and we're seeing that in the currency markets. The instability is produced as investors, PIMCO and others, try to perceive the policies of various countries in terms of not only policy rates, but quantitative easing and check writing. And so as one country, such as Japan, tries to jump ahead of the other in terms of the race to the bottom, the currencies become very volatile. You mentioned the yen this morning. Obviously, the 15 to 20% move in the past few months is indicative of what I'm talking about. So the volatility in the currency markets is not a positive for investment markets per se, and it can lead to shifts and jumps and reallocations, not just between countries, but between asset classes, and that's something that all central banks are trying to dampen in total.
Well, you've got to believe that the Fed selling its portfolio is off the table now. I mean, you wouldn't buy anything from them, would you, knowing how much they have to sell?
I will make this statement, and I can safely do it because I'll be retired by the time that they even possibly do. The Fed will never sell their portfolio. It will mature if, at best, I suppose.
Can I,
if I can follow
please,
that up,
Michael,
that implies, Bill, we're going to see a really high interest on excess reserves to try to counteract the effect of all that money on the balance sheet, staying on the balance sheet.
Well, I think, ultimately when the Fed does start to tighten, that you will see the interest on reserves, as the lead indicator, that, the Fed funds rate, the old policy rate tightening. I just don't think you're going to see it in terms of asset liquidation, because the Fed and the markets and the total credit spectrum in the United States needs $4 to $5 trillion dollars worth of reserves.
Bill, just to sum this up, I heard you say you're going to retire. I need to break some news this morning. Are you going to buy the San Francisco 49ers and then retire?
No, my wife will never let me retire, and so that's why I could safely say that the Fed will never sell any bonds.
Let's go to the economist, Jacoby Jones, and see what he thinks.
So this could be a run back from 9 deep for Jacoby Jones, and look at him go. Jones is past the 50, and he is flying inside the 20, and a kickoff return, 109 yards and a touchdown, an all-time record.
Jacoby Jones there, the Baltimore Ravens, of course, courtesy NFL and CBS Sports. Bill, it's been a long winter. Yes. We talked to Tom Coughlin yesterday here on Bloomberg Surveillance. He said he is working all winter. He alluded to the number one task the New York Giants have is how to change and adapt to your San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers have changed football. Did you see the same thing next year?
Yeah, I think so, too, with Kaepernick as the quarterback. And remember, Tom, the 49ers have 15 draft choices, which gives them lots of flexibility in terms of trading up and getting those key players that, like Revis, perhaps, from the Jets, or safeties to bolster
the defense. You're not going to get charged with tampering.
Yeah. Bill Gross, thank you so much.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.